Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior as we celebrate Transfiguration Sunday, a Sunday in which we celebrate Jesus transforming or being transfigured in front of some of his disciples on a mountain. Let's begin our worship service with a prayer. O Lord God Almighty, you shine forth in glorious splendor. On Mount Sinai, your glory shone brightly, so that even the face of Moses shone, reflecting your glory. Your glory shines forth in even greater splendor through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the gospel of salvation. We rejoice to be able to come into your presence today and to behold your glory here in your word. We ask you to shine brightly in our hearts and transform us into the likeness of your glory. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. Our first hymn for today is O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair. I invite you to stand for the last verse. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and have deserved only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise of heaven.
We pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully, make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this Transfiguration Sunday is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We read from verse 12 through chapter 4, verse 6. Paul refers here to something that happened in the Old Testament, that Moses, after he had received the Ten Commandments, his face actually glowed. But he had to put a veil over his face because that glow faded away. And he uses that as a picture of the law is not as great as the gospel. Jesus' face did not stop glowing because it was diminishing. Jesus is the glory of God's word, the gospel. Moses' face, being a representative of the law, was fading away. We read Paul's words then from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this kind of hope, we act with great boldness. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites could not continue to look at the end of the radiance as it was fading away. In spite of this, their minds were hardened. Yes, up to the present day, the same veil remains when the Old Testament is read. It has not been removed because it is taken away only in Christ. Indeed, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But all of us who reflect the Lord's glory with an unveiled face are being transformed into his own image from one degree of glory to another. This too is from the Lord who is the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as a result of the mercy shown us, we are not discouraged. On the contrary, we have renounced shameful, underhanded methods. We do not operate in a deceitful way, and we do not distort the word of God. Instead, By proclaiming the truth clearly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled among those who are perishing. In the case of those people, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from clearly seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is God's image. Indeed, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the God who said, "Let light will shine out of darkness," is the same one who made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew. We read from chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. This is Matthew's account of Jesus' transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and he led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured, a word that means transformed, in front of them. His face was shining like the sun. His clothing became as white as the light. Just then Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you want, I will make three shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. Just then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell down and were terrified. Jesus approached, and as he touched them, he said, "Get up and do not be afraid." When they opened their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Apostles' Creed. It begins on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, "'Tis Good, Lord, to Be Here."
Thank you.
Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the glory of God in human flesh, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Transfiguration Sunday are Peter's words from his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Peter, of course, was an eyewitness to the Transfiguration, and he mentions it here in this text. To be sure, we were not following cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from within the majestic glory, saying, "This is My Son whom I love, with Him I am well pleased." We heard this voice, which came out of heaven, when we were with Him on the holy mountain. We also have the completely reliable prophetic word. You do well to pay attention to it as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Since we know this above all else, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You had to be there. Ever said that before? Ever heard it said before? There are a number of times and situations where you would say an expression like that. Maybe you would use that line after trying to explain a particularly funny incident or a particularly amazing occurrence, but you realize you're just not doing it justice. People aren't laughing like you thought they would, or they're not standing in amazement like you thought they would after you told the joke or tell the story, and you say, well, I guess you had to be there. Or maybe that phrase could be said by the people from the Bay Area who have shelled out thousands of dollars for even nosebleed tickets today to see their beloved 49ers in person at the Super Bowl. I heard someone say that they know people who got $5,000 tickets and they were just way up in the upper deck. When it's all said and done, and if their team wins, of course, maybe when you ask those people, they would say, oh, it was all worth it. What an experience. You had to be there. I'll take their word for it. Well, how about the incredible event that we hear Peter speak about in our text? Jesus' transfiguration. Did you picture it as we read about it in the gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew? Jesus' face shining like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. On top of that, Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus. And then to top it all off, there's a cloud that covers them, a bright cloud covers them, and God the Father's voice Himself comes out from the cloud, "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Peter, along with James and John, were, in his words, eyewitnesses of His majesty. And they heard for themselves God the Father's voice from that majestic glory, that majestic cloud on the mountaintop that day. You'd think that this faith-strengthening mountaintop experience would definitely be one of those events where Peter would just have to say to us, you had to be there. Incredibly, though, he doesn't really say that. Yes, he does give an eyewitness testimony of the Transfiguration. He does so in verses 16 through 18, the first three verses of our text. But I want to direct your attention again to verse 19 of our text and listen to what Peter says. He says, we also have the completely reliable prophetic word. Now, I draw your attention to that verse because most translations don't bring this out very well, but that word in the Greek, the verb used there, is a comparative. So what Peter is actually saying, if you do translate that verse literally, it says, we also have the prophetic word more certain. That's an incredible statement. Again, because Peter is an eyewitness, and he says, we have the prophetic word more certain. What he's telling us as an eyewitness is that we have something even more certain than an eyewitness account, more certain than actually being there. Let that sink in for a moment. He's saying you have something more certain than actually being there. That more certain witness is, of course, the Word of God. As Peter says in the first verse of our text, God's Word is not, as some claim, a collection of cunningly devised fables. It is the eyewitness testimony, made more certain because it's written by men who were inspired by God Himself. Yes, they were eyewitnesses, but they were inspired eyewitnesses. Peter goes on to say this in verses 20 and 21. He says, "Since we know this above all else, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." God's Word is the greatest witness. It is the eternal, unchanging truth. It is the complete revelation of God. It is absolutely dependable. We can stake our lives on it. In fact, we can stake our very souls on it. People can make claims. People can dream dreams. They can conjure up visions and prophecies and have their own quote-unquote revelations. But people can also lie. People can deceive. And people can be deceived. We know Satan can lie. Not just can lie. He does lie. And he does deceive. But God's Word will never lie. So any prophecy, revelation, or testimony that contradicts God's Word, that goes beyond God's Word, or casts doubt on God's Word, is not from God. As Peter says in our text, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man. He's speaking there of true prophecy. No true prophecy ever came from man. It comes from God, and it's found in His Word. That is the rock-solid foundation, the ultimate eyewitness of all that God has done for your salvation and mine. That's why Peter says of this Word of God, he says in verse 19, "You do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." When God gave us this message of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, He did not give us a collection of cunningly devised fables that were written hundreds of years after Jesus lived. No, He gave us thousands of years of accurate, detailed, God-inspired prophecies of His Son, the Christ, the Savior, through His hand-picked prophets of the Old Testament. And then He gave us multiple eyewitness accounts of the Gospels using men who were not only inspired by Him, but were also eyewitnesses of Jesus, who lived when Jesus lived, who could have spoken with people and confirmed their reports or had their reports denied. Think about that. They could have had those reports contradicted. They were not true. They were right there in the same time as Jesus. They could have also had their reports confirmed by other eyewitnesses of Jesus, which is what you find in the New Testament. Because we have the incredible, absolutely trustworthy eyewitness accounts of inspired men like Peter and the rest of the inspired writers of God's Word, one more group of eyewitnesses is produced. And that's us. Unexpected, right? That's right, you and I are witnesses. Now, we have not seen with our physical eyes the brilliant glory or the sights and sounds of the transfiguration with our own physical eyes or physical ears. But that really doesn't matter much, does it? We have, as Peter, an eyewitness tells us, the more certain witness of God's Word. Our eyes can be tricked. Our ears can be deceived. But God's word is absolutely trustworthy and true. It is that word that has given us eyes and ears of faith to hear and see Jesus. To see Jesus' face shine like the sun and his clothes become white as the light. God's word gives us ears of faith to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." God's word has given us hearts of faith to pay attention to what God has told us as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Speaking of a dark place, this coming Wednesday, this Wednesday night, is Ash Wednesday. We begin our celebration of another season of Lent. I invite you to join us as we are once again made witnesses of our salvation. Today we've witnessed Jesus in his radiant glory as true God. And now beginning in Lent, we do follow him to some dark places, but very necessary places. We follow him down the road of humiliation and suffering, even to his crucifixion on the cross. There we will be witnesses of the punishment our own sins deserved. We will witness Jesus, God's own Son, forsaken by his Father, punished with the pains of hell so that you and I would never have to be. We will be witnesses again of his glory on Easter Sunday, when we will see the empty tomb and hear the angels proclaim, "He is not here, he is risen." And we'll see Jesus with his nail-pierced hands and spear-pierced side, standing alive in the midst of his disciples. It is because of Jesus' work that we are made his eyewitnesses now by faith. It is because of Jesus' work that we will be made his eyewitnesses with our own glorified eyes in heaven, where the Bible says we will see him as he is. What's that day going to be like? Well, I guess you'll just have to be there. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our service with our next hymn, "Swiftly Past the Clouds of Glory." Please rise. I'd like to request prayers today from our congregation for my grandmother, Elaine Bernthal, who this past weekend was moved to memory care at her assisted living facility. She turns, I believe, 94 this April. As you can imagine, it was a very hard thing for her to go through and kind of frightening. So we ask the Lord to bless her and comfort her during this time. Also, I was informed by Pastor Mike Eichsted in one of our Wisconsin churches that a former member of ours, Jan Wilson, she was a member here a number of years ago, he mentioned that she had passed away earlier this month. She'd been in the advanced stages of dementia and had taken a fall recently, but he said still her passing was still unexpected. So some of you may have known Jan. We'll pray for her family and loved ones and their comfort at this time. Any other prayer requests for today? Yes, Terry.
A prayer of thanks to my friend from Las Vegas that's in memory care for her son's father to be blessed this weekend.
What was her name?
Ginny.
Ginny, that's right. Any other prayer requests? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, on the mountain you revealed Jesus Christ in his unveiled divine majesty, and by wonderful testimony out of the cloud, declared him to be your Son whom you love. Help us always to believe and confess that Jesus is God to the glory of your name. In commanding us to hear your Son, you have placed your divine blessing on all that he has spoken. Grant us the grace to hear his wonderful words of salvation with steadfast faith, so that we do not dread his final coming nor fear his judgment. Gracious Father, to know Christ by faith is to know your love, to possess your forgiveness, and to share with all believers the hope of everlasting life. We thank you for giving us this knowledge and faith. Dear Jesus, though glorified on the mountain before witnesses, you nevertheless humbled yourself even to death on the cross for our sins. Make us willing to suffer for you, to risk all that we have, even our lives, in order that we might better confess your name and teach your gospel to others. Those who were with you on that mountain that day were happy to see your glory even for a passing moment. How blessed all of us will be to spend eternity with you in heaven. And so graciously grant, therefore, eternal life to each one of us, forgiving our sins, erasing our doubts, destroying all confidence in our own merits, and increasing and sustaining our trust in you through your word of truth. Comfort us with the bright hope of your coming. Care for all of our needs, and preserve us from all things, physical and spiritual, that might bring your harm. Of your rich grace and endless mercy, we ask these things. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are our help and our healer. We come to you today asking for your comfort and special care upon my grandma, Elaine Bernthal. Please give her peace of mind and heart as she has transitioned into memory care at her facility. In this time of change that may be difficult and frightening, comfort her with your presence and promises from your word. Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Give her good health in her mind, body, and most importantly in her spirit, until the day that you call her to her eternal home in heaven. Cause this trial to strengthen her faith in you and draw her closer to you each day. Help her to know that she is loved and cared for by her family and loved ones, and be with those who are assisting her and give them the skill and care needed to be a help to her. Dear Savior, be with the family and loved ones of Jan Wilson who are mourning her passing from this life. Comfort them with the peace and joy that comes from knowing that she is with you in heaven. Thank you for making her your child through faith and for all the gifts and blessings you gave to Jan during her life on this earth. And finally, we pray that you would come again quickly, Lord, and rescue us from this life that is so full of hardship and heartache. Bring us all home to be with you and all the believers who have gone before us in the mansions of heaven. We look forward with joyful expectation to that great day which you have promised us. In your all-knowing, all-loving name we pray these things, and now in your name we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service today with the hymn, Beautiful Savior. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you. And on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and our visitors who are here with us today. I invite you to sign our guest book, and we welcome you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. We also welcome back familiar faces, former members of ours, Ida, and then Mary and Ron, Ida Drews, and Mary and Ron Ryan. Thank you for coming. We invite you to worship our Savior again on Wednesday, where we have our Ash Wednesday service at 7 o'clock. A couple of announcements for today and then for the rest of this week. Following our service today, we'll have our choir practice in the front of church. And then following that, there is a crafting bee still on board for today. If you're able to stay and do the crafting bee, it will be held in the fellowship hall. Tuesday Bible instruction class will be with Gary at 11:30. Wednesday is a big day. We have our SSLS, our school's volunteer appreciation luncheon. Weather permitting, it will be 12 to 1 outside. It looks like the weather is hopefully going to hold for Wednesday. You're invited to come and be treated by the children. Now, there's an invitation on the back of your bulletin, and there's some color posters in the entryway as well. We have a little lunch for you, crafts, and some surprises for you as well. Yes?
And just to be clear, if the weather is not permitting, it will be inside, yep. So still show up.
You correct. Can thank you. If I wasn't clear about that, yes. We hope to have it outside, but if it's raining, we'll meet inside. So that's Wednesday at noon. Confirmation class with Natalie's at 4, and then our Ash Wednesday worship, as I mentioned, is at 7 p.m. Our theme for this year is Ironies of the Passion. So please come and worship our Savior as we walk through the steps of his suffering and death all the way to his resurrection on Easter Sunday. This Friday, there is no school here at SSLS. Our winter break begins, and our teachers will be gone for the teachers' conference, which is held next weekend in Spokane. Next Sunday, worship service is at 10 a.m., Bible class at 9 a.m., so usual times for those. Choir will again practice after the service. Please, if you have not had a chance to check your directory contact information, please update it for me today if you could. I hope to get those out soon. Please put a check mark if you've already checked and made sure that the information is correct. And a reminder also, next Sunday, didn't make the bulletin, but next Sunday there is a Southern California worship service. It will be held at 7 p.m., not 6:30. We'll be having it at one of our members' homes in Huntington Beach. Any other announcements I'm forgetting today? That whole thing is incorrect, isn't it? There is no Bible class next Sunday. There's church, and church next Sunday. So 10 a.m. Bible class, 10 a.m. worship service, choir, and then we will have Hayward at 1 p.m. and Southern California at 7 p.m. Thank you for that reminder. I don't know how that slipped me on the bulletin. It's correct on the calendar. So sometimes the bulletin's right, sometimes the calendar's right. Check with me if you have any questions, and I'll hopefully set you straight. Yes, Angela.
Since we have a visitor, I brought some little snacks. So if you want to visit the parents, sit over there. It would be nice. Opportunity while we practice choir.
Did you hear that, Ida? You were invited to have some treats, and we're going to mob you and say hi to you. And no, if people want to say hi to you and talk with you, they will have it in the fellowship hall after the service today. Not too much mobbing. We'll be gentle. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.